Hello, I'm Robert Hurt, your host for this podcast for NASA's Fitzer Space Telescope. This audio series, highlighting recent results in infrared astronomy, is produced by the Fitzer Science Center at the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena, California. Walk along any beach on Earth, and you'll see countless grains of sand. In most cases, these grains are made of silicates in a crystalline form, ground up into tiny particles. However, they were not always as you see them now. Time and many evolutionary processes have seen them change form both since the birth of our planet and before. If you look back far enough in time, much of this original material can be traced back to the atmospheres of long-dead stars in which these heavy elements were first forged. Today our guest is Dr. Henrik Spoon, an astronomer at Cornell University. He's here to tell us about an intriguing discovery of silicates in distant and very unusual galaxies. Thanks for chatting with us, Henrik.
Thanks.
To start things off, could you tell us a little bit about silicates in space and why astronomers study them?
Well, for me, the most beautiful silicates in space are the shooting stars. When our Earth sweeps through a cloud of silicates, that's when they light up in the sky. I've been studying them just lying on my back in a field. And also, if you look at the tails of comets and at the comets themselves, a lot of that is silicates.
The silicates that we see in space, they come in more than one form.
Yeah, on Earth, on the beach, they are in crystalline form, but in space you can also see them in amorphous form. Instead of nicely sorted as you see them under a microscope, they're all over the place, the molecules.
In your research, you actually study a kind of galaxy that's very different than our Milky Way galaxy. Could you tell us a little bit about this sort of class of object that you've been working with?
Well, they are called ultra-luminous infrared galaxies. They are galaxies that are 100 times brighter than our own galaxy, but all that light is coming out as heat radiation, infrared radiation. And if you look at a picture of them, they don't look like these nice spiral galaxies that our galaxy is. No, they are a total mess. Sometimes you see that there must have been two galaxies and that they are in collision.
So then in these colliding galaxies that you've been studying, what is it that you've now seen? What is the result of your paper?
Well, we have seen that in some of these colliding galaxies that there is an enormous amount of these crystalline silicates and amorphous silicates showing up. And that is something that if you would look to our own galaxy from a distance, you would not see that.
So is this the first discovery then of these crystalline silicates outside of our galaxy?
Yes, yes. The amorphous silicates you would see also in our galaxy, but the crystalline silicates, that has never been seen before. Only Spitzer telescope could see that.
Why hadn't astronomers known about these crystalline silicates from earlier observations?
Because the Spitzer telescope can do something that previous infrared telescopes and also telescopes on Earth could not do. This one could really look at wavelengths and at colors that are far beyond what was possible before. And also these galaxies, they are far fainter than galaxies that could be studied before. So now we can see these things much sharper and in much more detail, and that's why we discover them only now.
This crystalline form, these ground-up sand grains or ground-up bits of glass, why is this surprising to us?
Because these galaxies may be unique. It may be something that in our own galaxy can never happen. It's something that really happens when two galaxies collide. The processes in these very dense, very bright nuclei of these galaxies cause these crystalline silicates to form instead of amorphous silicates.
These crystalline silicates, do we have an idea of how they're formed, where they come from in interstellar space?
Well, we know from astronomers who are looking at stars that you can see them in the debris disks around newly forming stars, about at the distance where our own Earth around the Sun would be. That's where, if you look with Spitzer, you would see these crystalline silicates appearing. That's one kind of star, so young stars. And the other is old stars, stars that are shedding their atmospheres, that are forming a planetary nebula at the end of their lives. If you look at them, you also see crystalline silicates around them.
Well, if the older evolved stars are putting these crystalline silicates in space, then why aren't they commonly seen around the galaxy and seen in other galaxies?
That's a good question, and a lot of astronomers have been trying to tackle why they're not seen in the medium around these stars, but only very close to these stars. And they say that there are all kinds of shocks, supernovae, exploding stars that can shatter these grains from the beautiful crystalline form into the amorphous form. And so then you lose these crystalline silicates when you look further and further away from these stars, because that's where the shocks can change the silicates.
So you found something new and interesting inside the centers of these ultra-luminous galaxies. What else is there, do you think? Any more discoveries coming?
Oh yeah, plenty, plenty. Not only do we see crystalline silicates for the first time, but we are also getting a very good look at carbon dust. And that in a form that in our own galaxy, all the astronomers have been looking for a long time, and we now see it much, much clearer than in our own galaxy. So we're definitely gonna have more publications based on these strange ULIRCs.
Well, then you'll just have to come back and tell us a little bit more about those as the discoveries roll in.
Well, it's a little warmer here than in Ithaca. Right now it's freezing there, so I'll be happy to be back.
Well, we'll be happy to have you. Thank you very much for joining us today, Henrik. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Today we've been speaking with Dr. Henrik Spoon from Cornell University. To find out more about this topic, make sure to visit our website at www.spitzer.caltech.edu. There you can browse our image galleries, read about the latest results, download podcasts, and subscribe to our email newsletter. For the Spitzer Science Center, I'm Robert Hurt. Thanks for listening.